If you've been here over the past several weeks, you've seen that buffering thing done each week with Adam kind of writing this song, and today's the first time you get to hear the entirety of the song that is based on this series that we've been doing called Buffering, A Work in Progress. And it's all about what God has done in our lives and what He is continuing to do day in and day out. And so I want you to take your Bibles today and go to the book of Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 2 has been our foundation for this entire series. And as you're doing that, let me say hello to the campuses today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And week in and week out, we gather at different locations, and we have a time of worship, and then we join together for the Word of God. And so I hope you're ready to receive today. We're excited. We're halfway through the month of June, almost done with half of the year. But we believe that God has great things for each campus as we continue to fulfill the mandate that He has upon us. I've been talking to us over the past several weeks about buffering, how that in all of our lives, that life is not just always a continuation, that you kind of hit things, And you have to stop for a minute and kind of fix it and get it right and kind of go through some processes. And so we've been looking at some different aspects of that throughout the past few weeks. The subject today that I want to talk about is if I fall. If I fall. Does anybody ever have an experience in your life? Have you ever gone through something in your life where you expected it to go one way and it went right? I didn't want to use the word if I fail because too many of us think of failure all the time. So that's why I use the word fall. Because if you fall, the Bible says the righteous falls seven times, but what? But arises, gets back up, and continues to move into what God has. The book of Philippians, the second chapter, is our foundation for this series. And so let's look at that in beginning in verse number 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue, and here's where we get the subject, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He said, you got to understand what's happening. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Now today we're talking about this if I fall, and I don't know how many of you remember. Again, I don't usually do seven-week series, and that's what this one has been. The very first week, though, let me remind you, we talked about hurts, hang-ups, and habits. And we talked about how that in our lives that we have these hurts, we have these hang-ups, and we have these habits that we're dealing with. Now here's what I want to say to us today. Only God's power can take us away and keep us away from these hurts, hang-ups, and habits. It's through His power, it's through His grace that you and I are able to get there. And here's what I know about growth. Growth in your life is not always smooth, right? How many of you found it's kind of like this and kind of over here and kind of way over there and on that? See, the road to healing is bumpy. There's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some ruts in the road. In fact, sometimes you're going to feel like you're off the road. Anybody ever felt? Right? I remember a few years ago we were in Africa doing some missions work, and then one day we were going to go on a safari. And literally, if you've ever been to Kenya, you'll understand this, but literally, we got off the road because getting off the road was smoother than the road was. Some of us understand that in life. Sometimes it's better to get off the road because the road that we're on is kind of messed up. And so what we have to find is that how do we go about living the life that Jesus Christ wants us to live? And here's what happens to us. A lot of times in our life, we get tired. We get weary. It's kind of like in a ball game. You can be playing basketball, and as long as you're playing good defense, got a little bit of offense, you can win. As long as you're guarding that other person, you can win. But if you let your guard down, guess what's going to happen? The other team's going to win, right? It's the same way in our walk with God. If you let your guard down, you're going to find yourself going back in to these old self-defeating patterns that you and I don't want to get in. Here's what I know about believers. Here's what I know about Christians. We want to live an overcoming life. Now, that was a great place for an amen, so I'm going to back the train up. Here's what I know about Christians. We want to live an overcoming life. All right, there you go. All right, and it really is true. We want to be overcomers. We want to be the kind of people that God looks down on and says, that's one of my kids. I'm proud of them. But what happens to us is we kind of find ourselves going through patterns, and we find ourselves going through relapse at times and kind of winding back up in the place that we just got over, or the place that we just, you know, that hurt, that hang up, that habit that we felt like we had gotten control of. Now it's come back in our life. And so I kind of want to show you how we get there, and then we'll, as we go forward this morning, show you how to get out of that, and then also show you how to put some habits into your life so that you can live the overcoming life that Jesus Christ has. The first thing that happens to us is that we get complacent. Before you find yourself getting tied up and all messed up, first thing that happens to you is you just get complacent. It's kind of like, how many of you have ever started the year off going to the gym? Come on, three of you are telling the truth. Come on, you know you have. You know, in fact, some of you are paying $28 a month or whatever it is right now, and the only thing you're losing is $28. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. We all right? It hurts sometimes, doesn't it? And what here's what happens. We start off the year, we do right, but all of a sudden we go, you know, we go on vacation, and nobody wants to work out on vacation, do you? I mean, I don't want to work out on vacation, and so on vacation we go, I don't think I'll work out this week. And so that week we don't work out, and we eat ourselves, you know, through six or seven steaks, and I didn't say steaks, I said states. All right. And we come back home, and our mind says, well, I'm catching up. I got so much to do, I'm catching up. And so that next week, you're catching up, and the next week, you're doing something else. And by about that fourth week, you just kind of, and you're back in that, well, it'll be okay. And you know, you can still get the pants on, and because so you can still get the pants on, you get complacent. See, relapse happens when we get comfortable. When comfort set in, when complacency set in, we find ourselves now beginning a cycle that if we're not careful is going to take us where we don't want to go. The second phase is confusion. You say, well, what do you mean by that? What's confusion? Well, reality kind of becomes fuzzy. You know, and again, let me just use that. As long as I can button the pants, I think I'm all right. Why do y'all look at me like that? You know you've done it. I mean, you've done everything in the world to make. I mean, if you didn't have a belt on, if that button came off, it'd kill somebody. You know I'm telling the truth. But as long as we can squeeze in it, I'm trying to make this fun, because if I start talking about your real bad stuff, right? So let's talk about, you know, pants on the ground or something. No, I'm kidding. All right, and so reality kind of gets fuzzy, and we get confused, and we think we can control our problems by ourselves, and that's where now we're scooting, now we're moving, now we're finding ourselves headed into a really bad place, because now we feel like, well, I've got this handle. I've gone a month, I've gone 6 months, I've gone two or three years, and I'm doing well. Here's what I want to tell you: we've got to understand that the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, it's interesting that God uses the term warfare, because a lot of us think that once we get saved, it's kind of like, hallelujah, I can't wait till I get to heaven. But the Word of God says that you're in a war. And the war is for your victory. The war is not for your eternal destiny. The war is not for your salvation. The war is for your victory. The war is for that John 10:10 abundant life that you ought to be living. That's what the warfare is about, is because the enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy everything that's holy and righteous and right in your life. And so he's going to come in like just in every way that he can, and he's going to do his best to get you to that place where instead of living the overcoming life, that you now just begin to become complacent, and you get all comfortable, and you find yourself in that moment of saying, well, you know, everything's going to be okay because I've got this under control. And so when you think you've got it under control, the Bible says that he that standeth needs to take heed lest he falls. In other words, when you get proud and say, I got it, is the moment that you are now in trouble, because the Bible says it this way. It says that the Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace. That word grace there is important. He gives grace to those who are humble. In other words, the word grace there is not mercy. It doesn't mean that he doesn't judge you. The word grace there means an impartation of God's power. So here's what God is saying, that to those of us who are prideful, he resists us. But if we walk in humility and we say, God, if you don't show up today, I'm going to mess up. Now, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but let me help you. If God doesn't show up in my life today, I'm going to mess it up. And so I have to daily come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you today, because I know that if you don't show up, if I get to where I think I can do it by myself, I'm going to find myself in trouble. And so I need your grace. I need your empowerment to come into my life so that I can live this overcoming abundant life that you've called me to. The third phase is this. The third phase is compromise. All of a sudden, we find ourselves getting back into places we have no business going. Now, that can be in your mind, that can be with your body, that can be where you are. It's not just a particular instance of your physical being. It can be in a lot of ways. See, when we get to this phase in the process, we go back to the place of temptation, and we start thinking about it. And listen, let me say this real quick. These phases can take weeks and months, or they can happen in moments. Right? Because some of you think, well, I'm pretty good. I'm only on phase two. Yeah, but you can go to phase four like this. Right? See, it's not contemplate. People are, how many of you have noticed people are interesting? Right? I said that the best way I knew how. People are interesting. And a lot of times we kind of play this game with ourselves, and we fool ourselves. We tell ourselves, it's okay, I can handle this. The problem is that 6 months ago I couldn't handle it, but now I think I can handle it. And so I put myself back in the place of temptation. The Bible says that you and I are to flee youthful lust. Now I want to tell you, when I was in my 20s, I thought when I got to my 30s, youthful lust would be over. Y'all okay? When I got in my 30s, youthful lust was still there. So I said, praise God, when I get in my 40s, youthful lust. See, y'all are all taking that sexually. The word, I'm not talking about just sexually. The word lust just means strong desire. The Word of God says you're to flee youthful, strong, youthful indiscretion. And you know what? I'm now in my mid, a little bit older, 50s, not 60s yet, praise God. In my 50s, and I still find youthful lust, youthful passion, youthful desires are still there. That's why the Scripture says you've got to flee those things. You've got to get away from those things, because if you place yourself back in that moment, you're going to find yourself in phase four, which is catastrophe. You didn't mean to get there, but because you didn't handle things on the front end, now you find yourself in the moment of catastrophe. Now let me say this. This is when we actually give in to the old hurt, habit, or hang up. This is in the moment we start feeling sorry for ourselves and talk about how bad we've been done by everybody, and how we can't believe we've been treated this way, or we find ourselves back in this addiction that we used to have, and we get right back involved in it. Can I say this to you? Please hear me carefully. Here's what I found out about addiction. Addiction doesn't quit just because you quit addiction. Addiction will still call you at night. Now, I don't mean on the phone. It might be. But habits, those things will still speak to you. They will. You have laid them down. You have walked away from them. You have gotten away. But I promise you, they still have a voice, and that voice is still speaking. And if you are not careful, you will find yourself kind of entertaining, and you will say, oh, you know what? One drink won't hurt. Gets quiet in this church. I can handle it. But the problem is, 6 months ago I couldn't handle it, but now I think I can handle it. And so I do one, which turns into two, which turns into 12, which turns into I'm drunk. And the Word of God says, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, do you think that taking a drink is a sin? No. But most of us don't need to. I just put it out there. There might be three of you that need to. I don't know which three you are. That you stand for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I guess. I don't know who you are. Why? Because we need to flee youthful lust. See, it's giving in to that moment. It's giving in to that desire. It's giving in to that, whatever it is. Here's the problem about naming things is I don't name yours and you go home feeling good. Right? So if I don't call yours out today, it doesn't mean you skirt on this, okay? You still got it, all right? Here's what I want to say to you. Understand this. The catastrophe is not the relapse. The relapse begins in the first phase when you get complacent. Well, Pastor, I just don't know how. I found myself committing adultery. I don't know how it happened. Ooh. I know. I can help you. Well, we just fell into adultery. You crazy? Really? We just don't know what happened. We just woke up and wow. Y'all okay? Let me help you. Here's how it happened. You started talking to him two and three and four times a day. You started making your way down to their office more and more and more. You started going to lunch with them when you didn't have any business going to lunch with them. You started talking about your marriage and how bad it was to them. And you begin to tell them things you shouldn't be telling about your partner. And before you knew it, you found yourself in a place you didn't mean to get to, but it didn't happen when you closed the door on the motel room. It happened when you began to put into your brain how much you like this person and you begin to spend time with them. Some of you need to quit talking to certain people on Facebook. Pastor, she was my girlfriend when I was 16. I know, and all you can think about is getting the car with her and in the back seat. And you start getting reminded, and those old feelings start coming up. And before you know it, you start down a path. Well, my wife doesn't love me the way this woman loved me, and she was my first love, and it'll just be wonderful. Get her. She's not 16, and you're not 16. And a lot of life has happened, and a lot of baggage has come in. And you're going to get her. Are y'all okay? Because I'm just talking about where we live. You're going to get her. But after about 2 weeks, it's just going to be back to life all over again. Because that's what this world is. It's life. It's not lived in the bedroom. It's live. You got to get up, you got to punch a clock, you got to go to work, you got to take care of the yard, you got to do the things you got to do, and you have got to come to that place where you quit living. I don't know why I'm taking so long here. Why you quit living in this fantasy world that says, ooh, the right one got away. Well, if the right one got away, too bad. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, you remember it? It says a man is to leave his mother and his father to cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh until death. Now I know I'm going against everything our nation and our world and society is telling us, but I'm telling you, we have got to come back to the place where we quit playing games and we play with fire and then wonder why we get burned. Let me get out of this. The causes of relapse. Let me do this. I'll make you feel better. First of all, we revert to our own willpower. Again, we think we can handle it. We think we can do it. The book of Galatians, the third chapter, and the third verse says this: are you so foolish? After beginning in, by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish this thing in the flesh? He says to us, look, God's the one who started this in you. Don't think you can do it by yourself. You've got to have the power and the presence of God. The second thing is we ignore our power of choice. I've told you for years, you are where you are in life because of the choices you have made. We all, how many of you know that we do things and we don't specifically sit down and make a choice, but we choose a certain thing and then we wonder why the outcome is negative, right? Any of you ever find yourself after you've done something, don't raise your hand, after you've done something, I don't want to put you on the spot, after you've done something, and in that moment, the moment it's over, you go, what did I just do? What you just did was you ignored your power of choice. You have the right to choose. Yeah, preacher, the devil made me do it. No. That might have worked back in the 60s with Flip Wilson, for those of you who are old enough to remember that. That don't work anymore. It never did work. The devil doesn't make you. If you're a believer, the devil can't make you do anything. The Bible says the devil is underneath your feet. The scripture says that we sin when we are carried away by our own strong desire. I'll hurry. The next thing in this relapse process is we try to recover without support. We need support in it. We need people who will come alongside of us. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. The scripture says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You and I need to get some people in our lives who can support us. We need to get some people out of our life who enable us and drag us down the wrong way, and we need to get the right people in our life who encourage us, who strengthen us, and who help us to go forward with God. Amen. I mean, that's what God's called us to. You know, get into a small group. Get into a connect group. Get in. Here at North Campus, we have Celebrate Recovery every Monday at 6:30. Get in a Celebrate Recovery. Do something to help you so you've got some people around you to support you so you can live the abundant life that God has for us. It's up to us to make that up. Lastly, as we become prideful, I can handle it. I can do this. I'm man enough. I'm woman enough. No. Remember, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, I want to spend the next few minutes on how we prevent this. How do we prevent relapse from happening in our life? Somebody, I read something years ago that where somebody accurately said that the most difficult thing about the Christian life is that it is so daily. Right? Wouldn't it be wonderful just to have to be a Christian on Sunday? I got, you know, 6 days. Right? I can be a Christian when I'm at church. Right? I don't struggle at church. If I just had to be a Christian, no, it's every day. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He writes another place, he says, take up your cross when? Daily, right? So it's that daily living that we're called to. The book of Mark at the 14th chapter, the 38th verse says this: watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is what? Willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't know if you found that out or not, but it really is. The flesh, the carnality of us is pretty weak. So how do we learn to live? We talk about the habits, the hang-ups, all those hurts that are there. So how do we overcome those? Well, I want to give you some habits to put into your life that can help you to live the overcoming life that God's promised. First of all, is the habit is evaluation. You say, what do you mean about evaluation? What should I be evaluating? What should I be looking at in my life? First of all, is you need to look at your physical being, okay? What is my body telling me? All right? Now, let me say this to Christians, especially to Christians who go to Spirit-filled churches. We think that the altar will cure anything. Come on, you know it's right. If we can just have an altar call and brother so-and-so and lay his hand on me and I can pass out. Or if I can just, you know, have one of those moments, if I can just encounter, if that'll just take care of everything. But here's what I've noticed. All those things take place and we still go out struggling with the same stuff. And one of the reasons is because we have been told, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I believe the scripture, but I also believe that that freedom is a daily process of walking out. And so I can't receive. See, here's what we want. We want somebody to cast the flesh out. Right? I mean, we read in the Bible where they cast out devils, but most of us don't need the devil cast out. Most of us need the flesh taken care of. Well, that's of the devil. No, a lot of things are just flesh. A lot of things are just natural. It's just who we are. And so we have to take note of where we are physically. Where am I? Am I tired? Here's what I'll tell you. You get tired and you'll do things you didn't mean to do. You'll find your mind thinking things. And then you'll because why? Because your body is tired. Remember, you are a three-part being. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. And when this body gets wore down, now one day you're going to have a glorified body and it'll be wonderful, but right now, when this body gets wore down, that's why the Lord told us on 6 days you are to work and on the seventh, you're to rest. And most of us are living off of adrenaline and five-hour energy shots and Red Bull and whatever else that we can, and then we wonder why we're so frazzled, and we wonder why we give in to temptation so easily, and it's just because our bodies are just at the end of their rope. And when you get there, I promise you, you'll find yourself doing stuff you didn't mean to do. Why? Because in that moment, can I say this and I'll move on? In that moment, whatever that thing is, it gives you a release. It gives you an energy pump. It gives you something that is a quick satisfying, and you'll do it because you are so tired. You just got to have something to make you feel better. Not only do you have to look at your physical, you have to examine your emotional process as well. What am I feeling right now? There are times, can I say this to you? When you are feeling vulnerable, there are times you don't need to hang out with certain people. Because those people, on a good day, you know you can withstand. You know that you can live right. But when you are emotionally messed up, when you are down emotionally, you don't need to hang out with people. First of all, you don't need to hang out with people who are down. All right? Because you'll just pull each other to the bottom of the pool, man. Figure out how long you can lay there before you die. You know, it's like, come on, that's... No, but also those people have a tendency to pull you in the wrong way in that moment. But you've got to identify where you are emotionally. Thirdly, is that you've got to identify relationally. In other words, am I at peace with everyone? Last week was such a wonderful day. If you missed it, I am so sorry you missed it. But last week, we left these cards up here. We've been praying over these all week long because last week, we chose to forgive people. Last week, we wrote people's name down on a card, and we brought it to the altar, and we left it here because we said we want to get relationally right with everybody in our life, and we don't want anybody holding us back from moving into what God has for us. And so we wrote some names down, and we didn't sign them, and we didn't put our name on it, but we wrote some names down and said, we are releasing people because we want to have our relationships right. And lastly is spiritually. Am I relying on God? Am I coming to that place where I'll allow God to be my source, or am I my source? Am I my strength? Secondly is meditation. And when I say meditation, I don't mean going over and, you know, getting in a pretzel and going, you know, trying to achieve the state of nothingness. I think that's out in Kansas, the state of nothingness. Anyway, here's what meditation, how many of you know how to worry? How many of you know how to worry? Hold your hand up. Come on, tell the truth, right? That's all of us. Now, here's what worry is. Worry is just negative meditation. Worry is just negative meditation. So reverse worry. And start meditating. Start thinking on the good things, on the positive things, on the spiritual things. Well, we've got to come there in that moment where we understand. When you meditate, what you're doing is you are taking positive things out of the Word of God, and you begin to quote the Word of God. You begin to say what God says about the situation. When you say what God says about the situation, the Bible says you've been given keys, and that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you unleash, whatever you release on earth will be released in the heavenlies. And so when you begin to speak what God says about your situation. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou be in health and that thou would prosper. When you begin to declare what God says about your life, what God says over your finances, what God says about the people who you're in relationship with, when you begin to do that, then all of heaven takes note and begins to align your world into what God's called you to. So we need to learn to listen, because that's part of meditation. Meditation is a form of listening to God for His answers and for His direction. That's what I'm doing. I'm not trying to just blank my mind out. I'm thinking about what God is saying. I'm reading His Word. But as I'm reading His Word, I'm getting into what God is saying for me. The book of Psalms, the first chapter, verse 2 and 3, tells us what happens when we meditate. Now listen to what it says. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Now look what it says that person's going to be like. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do will prosper. How many of you want to be that kind of person, right? I mean, that's the kind of person I want to be. And so that's what God's called us to be. So what are the blessings of meditation? Well, the Scripture tells us this quite clearly. First of all, it says that you're going to have fruit without fail. Your fruit is not going to fail. Look what it said, that in each season, you're going to bring forth fruit. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a person. The Scripture talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I want the fruit of the Spirit being operated in my life. And the Scripture says if I meditate on His Word, that will happen. Then it says their leaves shall not wither. What it's saying is that health is going to be in your body. Could it be that some of us are sick because we're meditating on everything else? Come on, how many of you have noticed as soon as you start feeling something, you pull out your phone and you Google pain in left shoulder radiating down to the elbow. And by the time you're done, you're ready to amputate the whole arm. It's like, it's over. I am dead. Right? Come on, you know we do. I mean, we go into the doctor and diagnose what the doctor, and before he ever tells, here's what I got wrong with me, and here's what the internet said, and so we meditate. What would happen if we'd start meditating on what the Word of God said? What if we started meditating on, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, right? And the last thing, there's prosperity. It says, in all that we do shall prosper. If we would learn to meditate on the Word of God, these benefits would come into our life. Instead of meditating on everything else, instead of thinking on that, listen, sometimes you don't need to listen to the news. You don't need to read the news. Sometimes you need to go. I will go sometimes a whole month and not watch Fox or CNN or read a newspaper, because you say, well, don't you get out of the know? No, because as soon as I pick it back up, it's the same mess going on was when I quit. Right? Same old stuff. Somebody's getting shot. War's going on somewhere. Economy's messed up somewhere else. And somebody's mad at somebody. That's pretty much the four things that happen, right? And so I'll just take a break from it. I won't even watch it. I won't even listen to it. You say, aren't you uninformed? I'm informed about what matters. Amen. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not seek ye first CNN. Let me give you the last one. Habit three is prayer. Habit three is prayer. First habit's evaluate. Second habit is come to that place of meditation. And third habit is prayer. If we would pray, the Bible says pray about everything. Pray about everything. There's nothing. You say, well, it's not very big. Let me ask you a question. What's big to God? If He can speak worlds into existence, if He can speak solar system into existence, don't you think whatever you have going on in your life, He needs to know about? You can take any need, any problem, any difficulty, any struggle to God and say, God, here it is. This is what I'm dealing with. And when you do, in that moment, you can begin to see the blessings of God. And prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. And let me just wrap up with this. I'll say this, and I'm going to say this more over the next several weeks because I think it's important. But remember RPMs. We talked about this on several occasions. And here's what you need to do. And it's not in your notes, but write it down real quickly as I close. RPMs stand for read, pray, and meditate. And it's just easy to remember it that way. Read, pray, and meditate. Read the word, pray, and meditate. You know what? If every person listening to me today would start that as a daily habit, that every day you're going to read the Word of God, you're going to pray about what you read, and then you're going to meditate on what you prayed about and what you read, I wonder if our lives would not begin to move into a higher dimension in everything that God has. The Word of God is quite clear that God has given us the ability to live an overcoming life. Jesus Christ came to this earth so that you and I could experience salvation. But salvation is the beginning of the journey. Philippians 2 tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So over the past 7 weeks, I have given you tools. Each week, I have placed tools in your tool belt to help you to live out this overcoming, abundant life that God wants. And if you will work out your salvation, you will find the blessings of God being poured out upon you in ways that you never dreamed possible. Amen.